It's a blessing to be here with you all and worship and praise God. Before I begin, just want to extend my happy belated Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. I hope God is blessing you in this new year and has great things in store. And all those times filled with great food and loving family. I just want to say, I love seeing all these faces here today. Praise the Lord for that. That is amazing. Praise the Lord. But speaking of food, this sermon reminds me of chili. Now, I know many of you are thinking, like, this guy has lost his mind. And you're not completely wrong. But it reminds me of chili because chili is a great meal, at least in my opinion. But it's multifaceted, right? I mean, I can make it really complicated, or I can make it really simple. I mean, I can throw like 3 or 4 ingredients in there, and it'll come out tasting pretty good. Or I can throw even more in there, and it'll come out tasting really good. Now, this message is similar to chili in that it's very simple, but it can be really complicated as well. But either way, it's really good. And if you're like me, and you like a little bit of spice in your chili, it's simple, but it packs a punch, okay? And it's wrapped up all in this one statement. What if God came to earth as a man and served people? What if the Son of God, the one who is worthy of all praise, adorned with all the heavenly garments, what if he came down and served the very people he created? Well, I'll just spoil it all for you. That's exactly what he did. He came down and he served. And I'll give you the whole sermon right up front. I gave you my premise, serve, and I'll give you the reason why. Jesus said it, and Jesus did it. But not only that, I'm asking you to hear God's word today because we love each other, and loving people serve each other. So that's why it's important. That's why I'm asking you all to engage here with me today, to come along this journey, to hear this story. And so allow me to label this message, to serve and be served. Our main text of study today is Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 30. And before we read in these powerful verses, we will read about service, but also countercultural leadership. And towards the end, we will hear of a heavenly banquet. So as we read, pay close attention to those themes, listen for those ideas, and make note of them as we go along. So please, stand for the reading of God's word. A dispute also arose among them, as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. But you are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This is the word of God.
Praise be to God.
You may be seated. Just want to quickly pray. I know Chris graciously prayed for us, but please just bow your heads really quickly with me. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for all these faces, for all these people. Lord, I pray that message in Isaiah 55 that like snow and rain that comes down and waters the ground, Lord, and achieves its end. May your Holy Spirit come down on us and achieve its end, Lord. Open our minds, open our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I first settled on preaching this text, I severely underestimated the power of these verses. And to be honest, I decided to preach them because I realized how much I lacked the very thing that Jesus was demanding. In fact, I found myself to be more like the disciples in this story, more worried about myself and not the people around me. It's interesting, as I was reflecting on this passage, my whole life I was taught to do it yourself, do it yourself, do it yourself. And while that serves its purpose, the Bible here is presenting a different picture. Instead of being caught up in ourselves, we are instead to serve each other. And it's interesting because if the Son of God from heaven came down to serve us, how much more should we serve each other? And so that is what we will be talking about today. And so point number one is servitude. To serve. Now, this passage of Luke, as a little bit of a context, is positioned in a very important position. It's called the Passion Week. And in Luke, that goes from chapter 19 to chapter 23. And during this Passion Week, there's a lot of passion. That's why we call it that. Jesus is filled with passion. The disciples are filled with passion. The people around them in the context are filled with, unfortunately, a negative passion. So Jesus is preparing for his death during this time. And in chapter 22 specifically, he's instituting the Lord's Supper. And keep that in mind because it'll be important later. So as he institutes this Lord's Supper, he tells the disciples, "One of you will betray me." So they begin to question each other about, well, who it is. And perhaps they're even starting to point fingers at each other. Now, an undetermined amount of time occurs, and they begin to argue again, right here in verse 24. But this time is over something different. Instead of arguing about who it is that will betray Jesus, they're arguing about who's greater. And you can almost see how the first question led to the second question, right? It's something like, we can imagine the conversation, something like the disciples saying, "I wouldn't betray Jesus. Are you serious? I mean, me betraying Jesus? I was one of the first one to be chosen. I wouldn't do that." And so maybe this whole thing just begins wrapped up, and they start pointing fingers at each other, and it's all a mess. Or maybe they're arguing based off what's called an age structure. And here in this era, they lived based off of the age status. So if you were older, you had a higher status. If you were younger, you had a lower status. And so perhaps the older disciples are saying to the younger, "We're higher than you. We're greater than you." Now again, we don't know. And I don't know, that's for sure. But what we do know is that Jesus didn't like it. And whatever they said, he reprimanded them for it. And it's interesting because Luke chapter 9 is identical, almost, to Luke chapter 22. Where in Luke chapter 9, Jesus says, "Hey, I'm going to die one day." And then they begin to argue about who's greater. It's like, what draws the disciples to argue about themselves when Jesus is saying, "I'm going to die"? Why is their first reaction to worry about themselves when Jesus is standing before them saying, "I'm going to die"? Again, this is just speculative, but the Jewish people wrongfully thought that the Messiah would come down and bring a physical kingdom. that would free them from Roman rule. And so maybe they're thinking that if Jesus dies, he's meaning that he's going to bring the kingdom. And so they're going to have prominent roles in this kingdom. Again, we just don't know. But like I said, Jesus didn't like it, and he reprimanded all the disciples for them. And so we read in verses 25 and 26, and he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves." It's as if Jesus is saying, you know, you guys are so wrapped up in yourselves thinking about who's better when you should be thinking about me. Not only thinking about me, but thinking about each other, thinking about how we can help and serve each other. That's one of the greatest acts of selflessness, is to serve. And you see, the Roman rulers, which is what Jesus refers to as the kings of the Gentiles, they loved to be worshipped. In fact, they demanded it. They loved to sit at the highest seats of the table, the most prominent seats. They loved the lofty garments and the lofty names. They loved themselves. They were forceful, sometimes coercive. This Roman cult demanded the adoration that Jesus said only belongs to God. And so that is the picture that Jesus is presenting to his disciples. Don't be like that. Don't lord your power and authority over each other. Instead, serve each other. He's using a cultural example for them to better understand. Instead of doing that, he says in verse 26, "Not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves." And I want to draw your attention to the words "greatest" and "youngest." These words are similar because they both refer to age. Now, I know "greatest" doesn't seem like it does, but in the Greek, it refers to an elderly person. Right? And again, in this system, an elderly person was greater and the youngest was lesser. Now, we have something similar like this in our culture, but nothing too drastic like it was then. So there's an aspect of the text, and this is not a main point, so don't get caught up on this, but I think it's important to mention. There's an aspect of the text that could be referring back to the previous argument. Again, like I mentioned before, that one disciple older could be saying to the younger, "I'm better than you," based off of our cultural context. But that's not the, like I said, that's not the main point here. The main point here is that this goes for all people of all ages, anywhere. We are to be humble and selfless and loving to each other. That is the main point here of the sermon and of Jesus' reprimanding of the disciples. But it's easy for me to stand here and just tell you to serve each other. And it's easy for us to sit and nod our heads or internally affirm what I'm saying and then walk out the doors and just forget. This will not come naturally. Or at least maybe for some people it's easier. But this will not come naturally. We have to actively pursue this, actively try to do this. So what I want us all to do right now, if you're writing, if you're taking notes, or internally, however you remember things, remember these words. How can I serve my brother and sister today? How can I serve my brother and sister today? And put it somewhere. Put it somewhere where you see it in the morning, or you see it throughout the day, or if you see it at night, where you remember, how can I be serving my fellow believers? Now, what I love about this message is it's not restricted at all. There is no limitations to service. Jesus gives us no limitations. He doesn't say, serve this. No. The only guidelines we have for service is Jesus' life. He lived a life of service. And if we recall Jesus' life, he fed thousands of people. Now, I'm pretty sure those thousands of people were not all believers. They didn't all have the Holy Spirit inside them. So this service also applies to unbelievers. Now, yes, the church is always first. The Bible makes that clear. But we should be serving the people, the unbelievers right in here as well. And the unbelievers out there as well. And in fact, our service to each other should be something that they long for. Right? I mean, we show so much love for each other that an unbeliever in this room says, I want that. I need that in my life. Look how they love each other. Look how they help each other. I need help. I need love. That's the beauty of this message. It's not only an amazing truth, but it's also an amazing witness. And again, like I said, there's no limitations here. It's like chili. It can be complicated or really simple. You can be praying. That is one of the greatest acts of service. Prayer. Or it can be something more physical. Hey, I help you. I need help putting a floor in. Can you help me? Sure. Hey, I need help moving. Can you help me move? Sure. Right? There's no limitations here. We just serve each other. We love each other. And I love this because it will build such a strong bond here within these walls and within our community. I mean, we imagine the praise for God when people see other people who actually care about each other. It's like, I mean, it's really sad that that gets the world's attention, but it does. Because the world lacks it so much. It should not be lacking here. Amen? Amen. So don't lord your power over each other, but serve them. And he says at the back end of verse 26, he says, the leader as one who serves. You know, this caught my attention because I'm taking a class right now. It's called Foundations of Christian Leadership. And I kind of went down a rabbit hole here. And I looked up a bunch of articles and said, okay, give me the best characteristics of a leader. Not a single one said serve. Not a single website, Harvard, all these big names, not a single one said a leader serves his people. You see, the amazing thing about a Christian leader, and again, this is not just pastors or elders, this is anybody, right? The greatest thing is that a leader is a follower. It makes no sense to our earthly minds, but in fact, a leader is somebody who follows behind Jesus. And so when the world says a leader is somebody who's in the front, the Bible says a leader is somebody who's closely following behind Jesus, who's serving his people. So if we want to be greater, the Bible says, serve. You want to be a better husband, serve. A better wife, serve. A better son or daughter, serve. If you want to be a better manager or supervisor or regular employee, serve. This message applies to anyone, anywhere, at all times. There is not a situation where this service aspect doesn't come into play. And remember, I said in the beginning, one of the themes we would talk about is countercultural leadership. Well, that was it right there. Paul picks up on that meaning throughout his letters, and that's how we know it applies to all of us. Because Paul takes this text and applies it to all believers. And so we must embody it. Now, make no mistake here, in context, Jesus is most definitely referring back to his death. And I love it because we really see the heart of service. Right? All service is an extension of deep love. Let me say it again. All service is an extension of deep love. And what is the greatest act of love? Well, let John tell us. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. And again, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. You see, sacrifice is love, and service is sacrifice. Therefore, service is love. You see that? Sacrifice is love, and service is sacrifice. Therefore, service is love. Jesus makes that very clear throughout his life. Now, there's a flip side of service. And it's the latter half of the title sermon, and that is to serve and be served. Right? I mean, we can't sit here and serve each other, but not let others serve us. And this is probably the hardest part for me, at least, to let others serve me. In fact, I'm actually reminded of Peter in this aspect, because in John 13, Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples. And what's interesting here is that this washing, some scholars say, takes place right between our verses. So between, we're in verses 24. They're saying right between verses 23 and 24, this is where that washing of the feet occurs. And so this adds a completely new layer to the text. They're arguing about who's going to betray him. And then Jesus washes the feet of all the disciples. The man who he knows is going to kill him, he washes his feet. It reminds me of a missionary, actually. I don't remember her name, and I don't remember where she was, but I remember reading in a book she was a missionary for Salvation Army when they actually did those things. And she was in a jungle type area, and she was talking to like this tribe. It's people rare, I mean untouched, no technology, no travel, no roads, no houses. So when they got visitors, it was like, you know, you weren't treated the best. Well, she stayed in her tent and they in theirs, until one of their tribe members just was in agony and pain, physical pain. And something was wrong with his foot. They didn't know why. All they knew was that this missionary was a doctor and they needed help. So they ran this guy over to the doctor. And so she's analyzing him. She's trying to figure out what's going on. And she spots it. He has something lodged in his foot. But she doesn't have the tools to get it out. So she takes her mouth to his foot and rips it out. Yeah. And later on, the tribe came back to her and said, "Why in the world would you put the most sacred part of the body on the most unsacred?" You see, what she was doing was showing love. She didn't care about the circumstances. She just loved him and served him. And just like those tribal leaders, and just like Peter, we must come to that realization. I must come to that realization that we are to be served by brothers and sisters. We read in John 13, 6, Peter says, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Then in verse 8, he says, "You shall never wash my feet." And after Jesus tells Peter that he must actually wash his feet, Peter realizes and said, "Lord, Not my feet only, but my hands and my head. You see, just like those tribal leaders, just like Peter, they came to that realization. They actually came to an appreciation. I want more. I want more of this service. It's a great thing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's great love. And I pray that we realize that today. If you're like me and you struggle with that, I pray for you and me that we all come to that realization. To be served. But after Jesus corrects the disciples, he encourages them. And that's our final point here, is our reward in heaven. In verses 28 through 30, we read, "You are those who have stayed with me in my trials. And I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now, I'm not entirely sure why, but I'm reading from the ESV, and the ESV doesn't translate the conjunction that's here between verses 27 and 28. It almost seems clunky. The verse seems disconnected, but it's not. In the Greek, verse 28 should read something like, "But you are those who have stayed," or "Yet you are those who have stayed." So there's a connection there in the text. These are not two separate thoughts. So Jesus reminds them, don't fight about who's greater, but serve each other, and you will have a place in my kingdom. And like I said earlier, lest we think this only applies to the apostles, it doesn't. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul says, "Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world?" That same theme of judging on thrones is picked up for all believers in Paul's letters. And maybe I'm reading this into the text, but verse 28 seems tender to me. It seems loving to me. It's like, you know, you've been with me. You've been there. Through all my suffering, all my trials, you have been there. And because of your service, your reward will be great in heaven. Because of your love for each other, your reward will be great in heaven. Remember in the beginning I said we will read about heavenly banquets? We found it. Remember, the verse that we're studying is in context of the Lord's Supper. In the Lord's Supper, we eat and drink. In verses 28 through 30, they're eating and drinking. And so there's an aspect of the text here that points forward, that points to heaven, when we, the church, will be the bride of Christ, and we will sit at his table. I mean, if you're struggling and if you're going through a hard time, this is such an encouragement that you, a believer, get to sit at God's table with saints of the past, with the Godhead, everybody there. All of us will be there if you're a believer. And this is the King's table now. This is not just some regular table, right? I mean, people don't just get to sit at the King's table. It's usually the high officials, the family members, the people of prominence. But Christ says, you will be there. You're prominent. Your family, your adopted sons and daughters who will sit at God's table. It's a beautiful picture. It's an amazing thing that we will sit with God, and we will laugh and drink and eat, tell stories. I don't know. I can't wait for that day. So it's the lower we are here on earth, the higher we will be in heaven. The lower we are here on earth, the higher we will be in heaven. The more service you do here on earth, the greater your reward in heaven. But now, Unless you start going around saying, I'm just going to serve everybody, get my reward. Well, that's how you not get your reward. We don't serve each other for the reward. We serve each other because we love each other. So let me summarize. After a dispute about who's greater, Jesus reminds us not to focus on ourselves. Not to be like the world and lord our power over each other, but to serve each other. And in Matthew 23, verse 11, Jesus says, the greatest among you shall be your servant. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Remember that countercultural leadership. But if you're like me, the harder part is not necessarily serving, but to be served. And like Peter and like that tribe, we must come to that realization that it is a beautiful thing to be served and to appreciate that service. And finally, our selfless, loving service for each other will reap great rewards in heaven. With perseverance from the Holy Spirit, we must stay with Jesus through all his trials. We must stay with each other through all our trials. And because of this sticking with Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, we are guaranteed a spot at his heavenly table, where we will eat and drink with each other. And the saints of the past and the Godhead. So please, hear God's word this morning. Don't walk out without remembering those words. How can I serve my brother or sister today? And do it. And pray for each other to do it. So that our worship here may shoot up to heaven as a pleasing aroma. Please bow your heads in prayer.